Father and our God. We worship and honor you this morning as we assemble unto you. And truly we bring you glory because you are wonderful and you are worthy. Blessed be your holy name, the Holy One of Israel, the mighty God of Jacob, the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, faithful to 1,000 generations. We give you a place of honor and preeminence as we go on with this service this morning, this gathering. Lord Jesus, mighty God, your name is wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the root and offspring of Jesse, the Bright and Morning Star. Truly, you are worthy. We honor you this morning. We sanctify you in our midst. We turn the meeting over unto you. We give you a place of lordship over this gathering. And Lord, Holy Spirit, the giver of life, the strengthener from within, the God who truly is more than enough, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, we worship and honor you. We give you a place of honor and control. We ask you come and take your place as Lord over this gathering. And come and inspire and direct and control our thoughts, our words, our actions. Empower them so that all that we will do will truly be done to the glory of the name of Jesus, the edification of the church, and the consequent blessings that will percolate down to the rest of humanity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship, bless, and honor you in Jesus' name.
Wonderful, you are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful, you are worthy, oh Lord.
In Jesus' name we worship. Praise the Lord. Welcome everybody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to our service this morning. I'd like you to welcome people in your immediate neighborhood. Say you're welcome in Jesus' name. And let me hear you. I say you're welcome in Jesus' name. And it's good to see you this morning. And we're going to have a wonderful time. I say we're going to have a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord during this service. And by the end of the service, you'll be more of a wonder than you are right now. Trust me. Praise the Lord. Give yourselves a high five. Amen. You're all welcome in Jesus' name. It's good to be. David said, I was glad when they said we should go to the house of God. I'm always glad when I'm coming to church because when I come to church, I interact, I fellowship with God and His people, and I receive a greater measure of God's mercy and wisdom and power than I had before I came. Hence, I am glad to go to the house of God. We want to welcome our internet audience the same way. You're welcome in Jesus' name. You're going to have a great time as you listen to us, you fellowship with us through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit. These services are available on YouTube. You can go to them. If you're listening live now, you can also get recorded versions of the messages on YouTube. It'll have a title of the pastor, the date, the message, and you can go straight to the message, to exactly where the message starts. There's a drop-down menu that enables you to do that. So you're also very welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we say to you that you too will not be the same. By the time you finish listening and fellowshipping with us and the Holy Spirit, you'll be more wonderful than you are right now. In Jesus' name. Let us bow to pray. Heavenly Father, we worship, bless, and we honor you. It is a great honor and privilege to know you and to have the freedom to teach and hear your word and practice it without any encumbrance. For this, we're extremely grateful. We enter the word with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. We ask therefore you come and help us. Give in particular to me fresh unction and anointing that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. Let your word flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes indeed, power that will free men so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear and on hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word so that I will do it indeed with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in their individual life, agreed and said, Amen. We continue our study this morning in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 10, where we're talking about, you know, where people who didn't have mercy before, and now we have obtained mercy, and we, by the help of the Holy Spirit, were able to expatiate on the fact that we, as New Testament Christians, we have what the Bible calls the sure mercies of David. I showed the link between Abraham, David, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then us. And so, because of what Jesus inherited and what Jesus did, we are now linked to the blessings and the mercies of Abraham and then of David. In particular, David, because he says, we have now obtained mercy. David was a man who, the Bible tells us, you know, after God's own heart, in spite of all his, some of his mistakes and errors, and the mercy of God didn't leave him. Even though he was chastened by God, the mercy of God didn't depart from him. And we have that promise as New Testament Christians, that the mercy of God will not leave us. I'd like you to go in your Bible to Psalm 89. We'll just recap that and then move forward. Psalm 89, I believe it is, and we're in verse 28, if I'm not mistaken. Psalm 89, there's so many of these scriptures all over the Psalms. Yes, you know, in verse 28, it says, I didn't read this last time. The one I read last time was the fact that I think we looked at that one from 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 15, where God told David, you know, when David said he was going to build a tabernacle, a temple for God, God was so touched, he was so impressed, and he said, look, I'm going to set up a dynasty through you, which will be both, incidentally, I preached on this many years ago, you know, both physical and spiritual. We have to understand God made a promise to David and his successive kings, his successive sons, starting with Solomon. You know, however, the physical dynasty was not faithful. You know, and within a few years, you know, some of them had derailed. We had a few good ones like Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Josiah. You know, you could actually count them on your fingers. And the others really didn't keep, you know, and that all that, you know, was wiped off. But the spiritual dynasty remains. Hallelujah. And so the promise is actually more to the spiritual dynasty than it is to the physical dynasty. And we are part of that spiritual dynasty. You see, Jesus was David's son, both in the flesh, but we all know Jesus wasn't born, you know, by physical father. So his connection with David was more spiritual than it was physical. Are you listening to me? And so the promise that he would not take his mercy from his sons was more to the spiritual dynasty than it was. Thank you. But my mercy, let's read that. Go to verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. And I will be... Go to verse 13. Yeah. And 12. I'm not going to read everything because of time. 12. Okay. Now, God is telling David here what's going to happen. He said, when your days are fulfilled, look, David, you're going to die. I'm just summarizing. You know, you will die. And then your children, your descendants that come out of you, you know, I will bless him. In particular, Solomon. He gave a promise here about Solomon. Verse 13. And he will build a house. So Solomon builds the temple. But this is where you have to understand what the Bible calls the manifold wisdom of God. Even though God is talking here about Solomon, he's also talking about Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So there's a double reference here. It is true for Solomon. It's also true for Jesus. You know, many years ago, I taught this truth about the manifold wisdom of God. And I use this very simple mathematical illustration. If you take a number like 10, for example, 4 and 6 is equal to 10, but 8 plus 2 is also 10. Hello? So you can look at 10 in many ways. 3 and 7 is also 10. Hello? So the solution for 10 is more than 1. You can have different sets of numbers. Are you listening to me? 9.1 and 0.9 is also 10. You know what? There's an infinite numbers, sets of numbers that you can combine to get 10. Hallelujah. The word of God is like that too. The word of God is true for Jesus. It's true for Solomon. Guess what? It's true for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and so, you know, even some of us now, by the grace of God, you know, where, you know, apostolic ministries, prophetic ministries, you know, it says I'm built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, we're also building the church. Hello? So what was true for Solomon is also true for Jesus. The Lord Jesus is also true for you. Hello? Beautiful, beautiful truth. Amen. And there's another scripture just, you know, puts into my remembrance in Psalm 40 where it says, you know, that the fact that we as it says he will you will oh gosh it just escaped me, you know, he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ primarily, you know, and he says in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will. It's true of Jesus primarily, but it's true of you and I. In the volume of books written of you. Revelation 22 says, you know, things of that are written in this book concerning him. So in the volume of the book, just as written of Jesus, written of you. And just like Jesus came to do his will, you came to do his will. It's very important to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? I'm going to blow your mind. Everything God gave Jesus, you got it. Because you're a joint heir. The word joint means equal. Everything Jesus had in Christ, Jesus has, you and I automatically inherited. Amen. Now, of course, I think you have to do to get it experientially. Are you listening to me? So, go back to 2 Samuel. We'll just move on here. It says, but my mercy... Now, he's talking here about Solomon. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He's talking about you and I. You know, will not depart from him as I took it from Saul. You know, whom I put away before thee. Now, I reviewed this last time and it bears repetition. When I read scriptures like this, what always comes to my mind is God is no respecter of persons. And the next question that is, why did he take it from Saul in the first place? You know why? It's very important for me to know that. So that I will know the conditions I need to keep. None of God's promises are unconditional. And this is one of the big errors of our generation. You know, anything, you know, the Bible. You find me with all picking promises anywhere and anyhow, you know, and just using it and amen and everything. But you're doing yourself a great disservice. Are you listening to me? God is bound by his word. He's bound not only by the promises, but by the conditions for the promises. He's not like you, you know. He doesn't tell lies. Hello, somebody. So, and we know the reason why Saul, the mercy of God was removed from Saul, because of the dishonesty of his heart. The stubbornness, rebellion. We looked at this last time, you know, in one of my recent messages. I'm not going to go over all of that again. But it's important you keep that in mind. I heard somebody say this many years ago, and it bears repetition here. Everybody wants the blessings of Abraham. But not everybody is ready to make the sacrifice of Abraham. Abraham's blessings are mine. Not like that. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, they are yours in Christ. Are you listening to me? They are yours in Christ. But for you to be blessed with faithful Abraham, you have to have the faith of Abraham. Jesus was speaking to people who were descendants of Abraham. And he said, I know, watch this. I know Abraham is your father. I know you're the seed of Abraham. But you do not the works of Abraham. He said, if Abraham were your father, you believe in me. Now, even though they were the legitimate seed of Abraham, they disqualified themselves from the promise because of the way they lived. So even though we are Christ, there are things, he says, this same Paul causes a lot of confusion. Well, it's not confusion, it's because Paul is a straight guy. You know, he says, not all Israel is Israel. They're Israel, but then they're not Israel. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So there was something, because Isaac was a product of the Spirit. So even though you are the physical seed of Abraham, if you do not qualify spiritually, you disinherit yourself from that promise. Now, it's truth people don't like to hear, but it is the truth. Are you listening to me? And my job is to preach the truth. Are you listening to me? All right, go back. So that's what happened to Saul. So in the same parallel, I used Abraham and I'm going to use David. For us to have the promises of David, we must keep the heart of David. Are you listening to me? For me to enjoy the promises of David, then I have to be like David, where God said, I found in David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Preached this many years ago, you know, developing David's heart. And then I went a step further and said that not only do we develop, we have to maintain David's heart. Because we see that even David himself, do you understand, that heart deteriorated. So we don't want to make the mistakes David made. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Even though David was a man after God's own heart, he allowed his heart to deteriorate the honesty and the humility. And that's what made the nonsense of Bathsheba and all that happened to him. And I said this by the Spirit recently, you know, the same David whose heart pricked him when he cut the skirt, you know, the cloth from Saul's skirt, that heart did not prick him when he looked at Bathsheba and sent for her. Do you understand? It's something that happened to the heart. So a David's heart must not only be developed, it must be maintained. Good. Hallelujah. Okay. And so we who have not received mercy have now received mercy, even the sure mercies of David. And we maintain that by exercising our hearts so that our hearts remain honest and humble. So those mercies remain sure. You see, they are not the sure mercies of anybody. They are the sure mercies of David. Or, I should say it this way, they are the sure mercies of people who maintain David's heart. Is it clear? Nothing is a blank check without certain conditions. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay. Now, having said all of that, let's get back to 1 Peter. Glory be to God. Thank you for the word, Lord. I love the Bible. The more I read it, the more I study it, the more I fall in love with it. And the more I know, of course I know, but the clearer it becomes to me that the Bible is the word of God. Amen. Of course I know that, but You know, I get more and more evidence every day. Only fools, and I do not say that insultingly, I say it factually, only fools reject the Bible. Now, I'm thinking, if you think deep, you accept the Bible. Hallelujah. You know, like we're looking at last week, where it says, you know, the invisible things of it, they clearly see. You can't read a book like that. That, I mean, it cuts straight into the conscience of the human being. He says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any joint, piercing even the divine asunder of soul and spirit. And he said, discern. That Romans will discern your heart. It cuts through all the junk and all the pretensions and all the lies and all of that and goes straight to the heart of the matter. Amen? Hallelujah. Like E.W. Kenyon said, and I personally experienced, the human conscience answers yes, guilty, when you read Romans chapter 1. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Thank God Jesus is there to save us from the guilt. Amen? Okay. So, verse 11, that's what we're going to concentrate on today. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war, I like that word, war, against the soul. So there is a spiritual warfare that is going on against your soul as we speak. Hello? Verse 12, we're going to take 11 and 12 together. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I'm going to take these two together. Now, what I'm going to do is, let's look at this in the Amplified Bible, verse 11 first. Beloved, I didn't hear you. I implore you as aliens and strangers and exiles. Talk about UFO. Tell you, do you know you're an alien? Amen. You come from another planet. You're just here temporarily. Amen. Close adventures of the third kind. Praise the Lord. As aliens and strangers and exiles in this world, to abstain from the sensual urges, the evil desires, and passions of the flesh, your lower nature. He's trying to be nice. It's sin nature. You know, let's call it what it is. Amen. That wage war against the soul. Now, we need to understand this. It is sad and very regrettable that many Christians are unaware because they're not taught, you know, and revelation knowledge is so important, you know, of the spiritual warfare that is taking place around them. This is not a war of your choice. You're already inside it. It's not like going, oh, I don't want to fight. You want to, you don't want to, you're inside. If you don't fight, you will die. Nobody said amen. You will not die in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, people don't like me, like didn't like Paul. You know what Paul said? He was talking to Christians. He wrote in Romans chapter 8, is in verse 13. He says that, if ye brethren, if you live after the flesh, he says, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the disease of the body, you shall live. If you don't fight this war, you will die. Now, of course, it's not the will of God for you to die. But he's telling you what will happen if you don't fight. We're in a warfare, folks. There is no neutral position. And sadly, and regrettably, like I said earlier on, so many of us are so ignorant of what's going on. I remember when I was a younger Christian, many, many years ago, you know, every problem was seen as a deliverance problem. If you sneezed, it was a devil. You know, cast out the spirit of sneezing. And so on and so forth. And it portrayed an ignorance of what was really taking place. Now, to be fair, there is some element of truth there. There is the devil there. But it's not just a devil entering inside you and possessing you. We're dealing with a devil who is releasing spiritual forces from the air. Up till now, to the glory of God, you know, I really haven't heard anybody else teach it like this. But really, this is the reality. It's spiritual forces from the air impinging upon the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body that also have the sin nature inside them. So it's a fifth column. Now, maybe we know what a fifth column is. It's a military term, you know, where you have an enemy is, you know, like in secret inside the other army, and they don't know he's there. And then that enemy is also receiving signals from the enemy from outside, and then destroying the people from the inside. When you got, sadly for us, well, I don't know if it's sadly, you know, but the reality on the ground is this: when we got born again, the nature of God was inside our spirit. But the soul and the body, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the physical body still have vestiges of the sin nature inside. That's why I called it lower nature. The correct word is the sin nature. I never forgotten Kenneth Copeland preaching about this. I laughed my head off. He said it was the Adamic nature. He said, no, it is the satanic nature. it's not the Adamic nature, it's the satanic nature. Complete devil. You know, when you do that, you face the thing. And then you deal with it as it truly is, an enemy. And you start playing around with it. Oh, it's just my nature. It's just the way I am. That's how we are in our family. Etc., 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 etc. It's the pure devil. Are you listening to me? It's a sin nature. So what happens is this. Satan from the outside, through the air. Give me Ephesians chapter 2. This is the warfare that is taking place. That's warring against your soul. Ephesians, the second chapter, this great revelation. Thank God. What will we do with our Paul? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Very revealing scripture. Good. Wherein in times past, ye who? Ye saint, ye born again, ye filled with the Holy Ghost, ye tongue talker, ye. You're not talking about some sinner, you know, somewhere. He's talking about you. Hello, somebody. Where in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. This is where the people got mixed up with all the deliverance and all of that, you know, that now worketh in children of disobedience. That word spirit there is not going to say about a particular devil. He's talking about a spiritual force. Hello. Now, of course, sometimes it can be exacerbated. It can be increased by the presence of a particular evil spirit, the personality. But many times the problem is not an evil spirit. It's a spiritual force. Hello. That now worketh in the children of disobedience, verse 3, among whom also we some. Hello, somebody. Nobody's exempted from this warfare. Had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. This was before we got born again. The children of wrath, even as now, we're not children of wrath anymore. Yes, we're born again now, but the lusts of the flesh are still there. Ephesians, Galatians chapter 5. walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth. That's what he said in Peter. The lusts of the flesh warring against your soul. You know? Lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. He said, these are contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things you would. So we understand, therefore, that yes, we're born again. The nature of God is in our spirit, in the innermost being here. But up here, in the mind, the will, the emotions, and inside the physical body, you still have the sin nature and the sin spiritual forces from Lucifer and his people, from the air, come and hit us and try and make us do what God doesn't want us to do. So you've got this thing warring against your soul. That's the reality. But the good news is this, you've won that war. Jesus has already won that war for you. You know what the Bible says? It was Paul who said this. He described the same thing very graphically in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. You know, I'll just summarize. In chapter 7, he said, you know, he said, I want to do the word of God. I want to do the will of God. He said, but I see something else inside my body that wants to do the wrong thing. He said, to will is present to me, but how to perform that which is good, he said, I find it difficult. He said, the one I don't want to do, I do. The one I want to do, I don't do. He said, I find it's a law. I find it to be a law. You know, that when I want to do the thing, I find this, you know. He said, for I desire the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law warring in my members, in my flesh. And he said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. He said, that is in me. He distinguishes between the nature in the flesh and the one in the spirit. Very clearly. Give me Romans chapter, yeah. Look at, I think verse 14, somewhere there. Where you have that thing in brackets. Okay, 15, 16, 17. I just want to get it. There you go. But I know that in me. Now, why did he put it in bracket? Because me is threefold. Me is spirit, me is soul, and me is body. Now, in my spirit, everything fine. But in my soul and in my body, that is in my flesh, everything not fine. Hello? Hello? Dwelleth no good thing. He said, for I desire after the inward man. Look at the next verse. Talk to me. 19. Thank you. Verse 19. 20. 21. There you go. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So my inner man is okay. Let's say it this way, a nice way. My innermost man is all right. Innermost. But that's the soul and the body. Lord have mercy. May God have mercy on the church. May God open our eyes to this truth. I thank you. I like this in the Amplified. I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. But I got this other funny nature, you know, in the soul and in the body. But the good news is I've overcome it. So what do? We use the weapons of our warfare. That's why we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin. When we do yield to that sin nature, it's not the end of the world. Praise God. Amen. And then we use the life of God, the word of God, and then we use the power of the Holy Spirit. When we now do that, you know, we release the power of the Holy Spirit. We release the nature and the forces of God to counteract the forces of the enemy that are coming from the air in the soul and in the body. And as we do that and do it consistently with prayer, we are able to push back those spiritual forces. So what's going to happen is that instead of the lust of the flesh becoming dominant in the soul and the body, the fruit of the spirit start becoming dominant. Hallelujah. So love will clash against hate and strife. Amen. Self-control will clash against, you know, intemperance and lasciviousness, you know, and sexual immorality and all of this. Kindness and patience and goodness will clash. And those ones are more powerful than those other ones. If you will put them to work. And you launch them through your mouth. That's why prayer is so important. As you pray, you release the blood of Jesus, you know, to cleanse the sin. Then you say, in Jesus' name I have life. Then you pray in the Spirit. When you do that, you're releasing the power of God from your innermost being. It hits the soul. It hits the mind. It hits the emotions. It hits the body. You know, it hits the will. And it begins to cause the will of God to be dominant. That's where we get the word dominion from. That's where we get the word kingdom from. That's what kingdom is all about. Is the dominion of God. God now dominating the soul and the body. And incidentally, you don't have to stop there. You can dominate the air. Amen. Move out and take the battle to the gate. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Take it right. Go into enemy territory. And you begin to occupy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants us to do. As Christians, He wants us to use the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and all these weapons are launched through the mouth, you know, to release the power of God, so that that power of God and that nature and that, you know, character of God is now dominating the soul and the body. It's a battle you will fight until you go. Am I talking to anybody here? Even after you have totally occupied. You know why? After you occupy, you must maintain. Is this clear? There is no such thing as, it's all over now. And then we just take our ease and I don't have to pray again the way I used to pray. And it's okay. The sin nature is out. I've occupied the air. If you don't, He will come right back in. Should we say, He will try to come right back in. Are you listening to me? And that's why, you know, I used to, very many years ago, I used to wonder, and you know, why Jesus had to pray so much. Jesus God anyway, you know, well, not God, but you know, God, not God in all His omnipotence, but He was an age, He was a Son of God. He was born of a virgin, for God's sake. Hallelujah. He didn't have all these funny things we have. Amen. He didn't have the sin nature. He didn't have the lower nature. Yet He had to pray. You know why? He had to maintain what He had. So the war doesn't stop after it's been won. You got to continue. After you win, you now continue to maintain. Hallelujah. Or, like the scripture says, it just came to me, of the increase of His government, there shall be no end. So, you stay on the offensive. Yes, you're free now. You start getting other people free. And you keep moving ahead. And you occupy more and more of the air. Hello. Then those are, well, I've done and I'm done and it's okay. No, because you know, if you do that, the enemy will try and come back in. But if you keep expanding, the Lord said this to me many years ago. I preached it and taught it. You know, the best form of defense is attack. Napoleon Bonaparte actually said that. You know, but spiritually it's true. You know, don't relax. Get up every morning and take the battle to the gate. Yeah, you're fine. You don't have any devil inside you. There's nothing disturbing your mind and that kind of thing. But there are a lot of people around you who are not fine. Hello? So you still have to pray. Hence the scripture says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the most revealing scriptures about His inner nature and the kind of life He lived when He was here. It's in Hebrews chapter 5. He says, though He were a son, it's a deep statement, yet He had to learn obedience by the things which He suffered. You know what? Being a son of God and having the nature of God, spirit, soul, and body, not like us, that is spirit, and then soul and body is still, you know, occupied. You know, He had spirit, soul, and body. Even though He had all of that, He still had to learn obedience by the things that He suffered. because there was still this thing from the air that could still come against him. Hebrews, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. In other words, being a son of God does not exclude you from spiritual warfare. Hello? Even though Jesus had the nature of God's spirit, soul, and body, he had to maintain it and increase it by daily prayer. So he had to suffer self-denial, get up early in the morning, fast, pray, all these things. These things won't just happen if he wouldn't be able to maintain those things if he didn't get into those spiritual exercises. Hello, somebody. Next verse. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, or copy his example. Go to verse 7, excuse me. I love this. Who in the days of his flesh? Notice the word days there is in plural. You know, most people, traditional Christians, sometimes, I think many people are coming to see this now. We taught this, you know, about 30 years ago, and it was very controversial then. I remember people arguing with me, saying, yeah, that was Gethsemane. I said, he said days, you know. He said days. It's plural, isn't it? Amen? So this wasn't just what Jesus did in the garden. And Gethsemane, and he prayed with, you know, great earnestness, and his sweat was as, he said, oh well, at least that's once in a while. No, folks, it was daily. Hello? Gethsemane just gives us a picture of the intensity of that particular night, but it was something that he did as a habit. Are you listening to me? Who in the days, I like this, the New International Version, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and said petitions with very silent cries. That's where you get groaning from. And one of the reasons why Jesus would go get up early in the morning and go into the wilderness. So in a solitary place where he won't disturb anybody. You go and pray. Pray with great intensity. And you're not going to go far in this Christian fight if you don't pray like this. In this warfare, where I taught about this on groaning and the resurrection recently, you know, the groaning is what pumps, is the best word for it, the life and the power of God from the heart and pumps it into the flesh, you know, pumps it into the air and causes the dominion of God in the flesh and in the air. Christians who don't pray in the spirit with travail and with intensity will not be able to overcome the flesh in many areas. And sadly, you know, that is why there's so many Christians and pastors and bishops and apostles who are dominated by the flesh. They're dominated by pride. Dominated by immorality. Hello? And all kinds of funny things. You know, I remember somebody speaking to me many years ago, you know, and said, how do you do all of this? I said, prayer. He said, so many people are having problems. I said, I know. And I want to say this, like I said on Wednesday, you know, I convict, but I don't condemn. Hello? I don't look down on other people. Far from it. Because I learned, and I'm still learning, that it's the mercy of God that keeps me. So I don't, I'm not on this spiritual high horse looking down on other people. But the fact remains that if you don't get into deep prayer, you won't win this war of the soul. You won't win the war of the soul. I'm closing with it. I'm not going to do anything else. In verse 12, he talks about having your conduct. Give it to me in the King James. Sorry, conduct yourselves properly. I didn't hear you. Honorably and righteously. among the Gentiles. Gentiles are people who don't know God yet. So that although they may slander you as evildoers, you know, when you see someone who's doing good, you start saying, don't mind him, call him along, and so on and so forth. You know, that they may be witnessing, they may by witnessing, excuse me, your good deeds come to what? Glorify God. In the day of inspection, when God shall look upon you, wanderers, as a pastor or a shepherd looks over his flock. In other words, a day is going to come when those guys will get born again. You know, and they will now say, ah. So it was God working in these people to make them the way they are. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to learn, you know, by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to like, I like the way he said in Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Wage a good warfare. Really, you know, fight like a good soldier and overcome the enemy. Firstly, inside yourself, your soul, your body, and your circumstances. Then around of you now go up and set other people around you free. You know, so that they too can come in and enjoy this great goodness and blessing of God. The truth is, dearly beloved, this war is real. And you're not going to really overcome it to the degree you should if you don't get into these deep waters, if I can use that expression, you know, of prayer. There's no other shortcut. That's what we call, oh, thank you, Jesus, disciples. See, a disciple is a person who has subjected himself to the same disciplines that Christ. This is what Christ disciplined himself. That's why I said, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross daily. This is what he's talking about. Cross means to crucify. So let him by the Spirit, now it's not a physical cross, but by the Spirit, let him crucify his flesh daily by following my example. Prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears. Learn obedience by the things which you suffered like I did. Then you become a true disciple. Then you're truly following Christ. It's not enough to make a profession of the mouth. But you must participate in the disciplines and be a partaker of the sufferings. Then you begin to enjoy, you know, the blessings of reigning with Christ. Says, if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. What will you reign over? You will reign over sin. You reign over ignorance, reign over poverty, reign over kings, reign over nations. Hallelujah! You reign in life. So it's real, folks. We must take time to war this warfare. He says, know that, yes, you're here, you know, you received mercy, the sure mercies of David. Now use that mercy with the right heart, you know, to war a good warfare, because there are things coming against your soul that don't want you to be all God wants you to be. Before I close, I have to say this. We're probably going to see more of this when Pastor Conley ministers later on. But I want to say this. You see, there are levels of victory. The Lord Jesus said it in a nicer way, you know, in a more precise way. Used the word fruit bearing. He said some 30, some 60, and some 100. Something that's bothered me over the years, and I had to seek God and ask for answers, is the fact that the level of victory, the degree of victory that the church experiences, professes, and even demonstrates, you know, is such a low level. And they want to, very sadly, they want to try and force you to think that that's the best. And it's not. It's not. Because they don't want to accept the truth, and all this dishonesty of heart again. You know, yes, as Christians, we can and we must demonstrate total dominion. I didn't say partial. I didn't hear anybody. I said total dominion over sin. Total dominion in your soul, in your mind, your will, your emotions. Total dominion in your flesh. Don't let anybody lie to you that it's not available. It's available. It's a lie. When they say, oh, well, yes, I know the Bible says that, but you know, so long as we're inside this flesh, we cannot do it. It's a lie. You know why? They're not using the tools to do it. They even reject the tools. They say the tools don't exist. Or they call the tools of the devil. Of course you can. God would be an unjust God to ask us to do what we cannot do. There is a way. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way. And that way is the way it took. That's the way. The way is the way it took. Hallelujah. In the days of his flesh. That's the way. That is the way. You're not going to get it if you don't go that way. Are you listening to me? Don't let anybody lie to you or tell you that as a Christian, you can never have that level of victory. You can never have that level of dominion. We call it perfection, is another word for it. You know, but it's not the cliches that matter. It's the reality. Are you listening to me? Yes, it is available. There is a way you can live your Christian life where you can war successfully, consistently. We declared 2017 the year of triumphing always. Where always, always you triumph. Always you're victorious. You don't have good days and bad days. You always have good days. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have fight days. Even the good days will be days of fighting. But in that fight, you will win. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're not promising that you won't have challenges. You will, but you will triumph always. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a way. There is a way. Jesus is that way. Jesus has shown us the way to be like himself. And it's not some pie in the sky. It's a present reality that is available to every Christian who will take this warfare real. You wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, the war is on. You're sleeping at night, the war is on. Amen? It's there constantly. Amen. But the good news is don't let that disturb you. Amen. You got the tools. You got the weapons. Amen. And you're going to win. And you're going to go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody deceive or discourage you and say, nah, you can't do it. Says, dearly beloved, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain so that you can do it. Which war against the soul? You can overcome those lusts, fleshly lusts. It's not true that so long as you are in this flesh, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. All those are half-truths. They're in the Bible, but the Bible also has given us a solution to all of those things. Paul said, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, says you will live. The Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, will give you preeminence and dominion over the lusts of the flesh. And so your conversation, your conduct can be honest among the Gentiles. People can look at your life and say, wow. And one day God will visit them, and that dominion that you're having will come percolate down to them. They too will start seeing the light. They too, the Holy Spirit, start drawing them to Christ through your dominion. Let's talk to God.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive the foolish ways, reclothe us in our rightful might, in pure lives thy service find, in divine reverence praised, in deeper reverence praised.
Drop thy still news.
Till all our striving cease,
take from our souls,
take from our souls
the strain
the
and stress,
strain and
hallelujah,
strength, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace.
Thy peace.
The beauty of thy
drop
peace.
Thy still news again. We'll come.
Drop thy
sing it from the heart.
News of quietness till
he's talking about the Holy Spirit dropping the life of God.
Cease.
Take from our souls.
Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our modern lives confess
the beauty of your peace,
the beauty of thy peace, the
beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heats of our desires.
Breathe through.
Hallelujah. Let flesh retire.
Let flesh retire.
Speak
through the earthquake wind and fire. Oh, still small voice of calm.
Hallelujah.
Oh, still small voice of calm.
The heats of our desire.
Breathe through the heats of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earth.
Raise your other hand to God. This hymn is one of the best hymns and songs I know that graphically describe the war of the soul. It was written hundreds of years ago by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Drop thy still dew is the water. It's a type, it's a symbolic truth. As you pray in the Spirit, God will be dropping the still dews of quietness. Then all that strife in the soul will go down. And He will breathe. That's talking about the breath of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the heats of our desire, the anger and lust and flesh, He will breathe through it His coolness and His balm. The sense will be dumb. Doesn't mean you won't have sense. Just means that it will, like an anesthetic. It will make the desires of the flesh. It will numb them. The flesh will retire. And God will speak through the earthquake, the wind, and the fire. You will hear clearly the still, small voice of calm. Raise that hand. Put the other hand on your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us. As we pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me of the spiritual warfare that I am involved in daily. Warring against my soul, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the power of the devil from the air, coming against my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body. And the sin nature therein. My Father and my God, I thank you for the assurance and the clarity of victory that you've given me over this warfare in Christ Jesus. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you have put inside me, by which I wage a good warfare. I fight the good fight of faith, and I lay hold on and seize eternal life in my soul and in my body and even in the air around me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Mercy to be faithful. Mercy to triumph always in this warfare, so that every day I will go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. You may be seated.
Let sense be dumb. Let flesh retire.
Speak
through the earthquake, wind, and fire. Oh, still small voice of God. Oh, still small.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to see a church that is walking in this consistently? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see a people that constantly consistently are winning this war in the soul and in the body. This is what we call a glorious church. Without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. I got good news. That church is about to be shown forth to all the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They will see it and they say, ha, ha, this is the true God and eternal life. God bless you.